Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
Many a day has passed.
Yo, man, we back at it again, man. And before I get started, man, we definitely have to give a rest in power, man, to a seminal great, in my opinion. Had one of the biggest interceptions and one of the biggest moments and one of the biggest games. Battled with liver disease for a long time, Geno Hayes. He passed away, I believe, yesterday, and the Seminole family definitely is mourning his loss, but we definitely know, man, he's resting. He's resting now, and so rest in peace to Geno Hayes.
Yeah, yeah, for real. Rest in peace, Geno Hayes, man. That's sad. Geno, 33. I'm 34.
Yeah, I'm 38.
Yeah, it's just it's crazy, man. It's crazy that he's not here, man, and yeah, I know you had a daughter. I don't even know how many kids he had. I know you had a daughter. I knew for sure, but that's right. It's just horrible, man. It's just horrible.
No, no, it's crazy because when they started posting, like I kept praying he would pull through. You know, he would get the transplant, and it was tough. You know what I mean? When I found out he didn't, and then when I think about the it's crazy that play, when we talk about some of our favorite plays in Seminole history, that one is one that comes up, I think, more than most of them for me. And it's because, like, I remember going through that entire week telling everybody, y'all know Boston College not beating us. Like, y'all know Boston College not beating us. Like, and yeah. Everybody was like, nah, Matt Ryan. I kept saying, the talent on Florida State ain't losing to a Boston College in prime time. I don't care who is the quarterback. And, you know, so Geno making that play to seal it, I can remember where I was, you know what I mean? It felt like, you know what I mean? I was like, yeah, I was right. I'm able to go back to work and kind of talk some trash the next week, man. Back when some of the linebackers we could brag about, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's definitely sad for us. And, you know, Seminole Nation, we definitely, we're mourning right now. So, yeah, rest in peace. Rest in peace to Geno Hayes.
Yeah, man, you know, Madison County product, man, and played for the Jags, played for the Bucks, played for the Bears.
Yep.
All around good dude, man, and just to see him going that fast, man, it's just terrible, man. Just terrible.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. We're gonna transition a little bit. Man, it's tough. It's tough kind of transition. I know you hate to start the show, but I felt like we would have been wrong if we didn't.
Right.
On to some. I guess, you know, much better news is Florida State is continuing to move in the right direction when it comes to this 2022 class, and landing quarterback AJ Duffy, four-star product, number 6 pro style quarterback and number 76 overall. So a top 100 player, you always want those. And a guy who I think a lot, they weren't just, you know, they weren't battling between some of these other, what we've seen some of these other guys where we can, you know, we've kind of dismissed it and said, all right, well, this don't really mean nothing. No, AJ Duffy is a good get, is a good get. It for sure. And so Sam, man, like, you know, give us your opinion.
I like everything about AJ Duffy, man. I mean, I got the clips up right now, his huddle tape, and that release is like super fast. It's very compact. Throws a nice little deep ball. You know, I got to see how that translate to college. But it seemed like he got a nice strong live arm, you know what I'm saying? And he could throw the ball vertical, which is something Norvell definitely needs in his offense. Norvell loves that vertical throw, you know. So, I think it's a huge get, man. I think he comes in battling next year for a starting job. I don't know if he plays. I wouldn't be rushing him on the field, but I think he's the guy that if Travis get hurt, you don't feel like you're dead. You know what I'm saying? And he got nice feet. Yeah, man. Look at these clips with him running, man. I mean, he got nice feet too.
Hold on. Sam, exit full screen. Click exit full screen and just go to the standard view because it's showing there it is. All right, we back. No, the boy, I know considered a pro style, but he's not immobile. That's always great. The boy's release is great. Instincts, big time. He played at IMG, so that lets you know that he's not, you know what I mean? It's not a small guy from a small school. This is a guy playing, you know, big time high school football. And IMG produces great talent, great athletes, and not to mention, and they play, again, in one of the toughest, in my opinion, the toughest state to play football, in one of the biggest schools in Florida. So this is a huge get. I don't think there's any way to undersell it. There isn't. There really is. There's not very much we cannot say about it. I mean, all these are these are fantastic throws from the pocket. But we've seen that he's also able to. Hey, all right, if I got to get out of the pocket, I can make something happen. This is on the dime, you know, throw that we just seen. At high school, you don't see very many like it. I hate to compare people to Jameis when it comes to talent-wise. I think Jameis was, you know, once in a generation talent. But when we talk about anticipation throws, I think he's the closest we've seen to having the ability to stand in the pocket and throw the football. Like, he's the closest comparison in my opinion. I don't know who you would see. He's the closest comparison as far as the actual pocket passes. Because, I mean, Jameis wasn't a mobile quarterback. He had the ability to move if he needed to. But Jameis was a pocket, is a pocket passer who threw with anticipation in the tight windows. And when I look at Duffy's tape, it looks a lot like Jameis when it comes to a guy who has the ability to move but don't really want to. And throws with anticipation, and I think that makes a big difference, especially when you pair him with a guy like Travis. It says to me the future might be a little bit bright. It ain't like, you know, HD bright.
Yeah,
I can kind of see the light getting turned on. What we call one of them little dimmers? You know, having them dimmers, they turning it up a little bit.
Yeah, I like how quick his release is. You know, you do see when you watch the tape a little bit, he kind of waits for guys to get open instead of throwing them open. So that kind of like, you know, that kind of bothers me, but maybe you can coach that out of him. But a lot of quarterbacks have a hard time with throwing with anticipation.
I think he does anticipate. You got to look at it from a high school standpoint. Anticipation ain't going to look the same as it'll look
right
in college. Anytime you can hit a guy, like, I think he waits a little bit on some of those stick routes. And that's going to come, but I don't know how much that is trusting in your receivers versus not. I actually think he does throw. He does anticipate a little bit. I think he knows the I think he, compared to the last however many quarterbacks we've had roll through here, he is by far the best one.
Right.
And I don't even think that's close.
Right.
I mean, would you argue that?
Yeah. I mean, compared to what we've had, yeah. I mean, he's better than what James Blackman was coming out.
Yep.
Francois. You think he's better than Francois? I think they might be a little close. I don't think they're that much.
I think Francois was a three star who they gave four star because of.
Nah, I mean, you got to remember now, Francois was a pretty good quarterback before he got hurt.
We're going to have to agree to disagree. I didn't ever think Francois was a very good quarterback.
Okay.
Francois was always limited, and I thought he was – what helped him out was his mobility. I thought he would join Travis with a slightly better arm.
I don't know about slightly better. I think it was way better arm.
I think he was Jordan Travis with a slightly better arm than he is now. I mean, that last throw is an anticipation throw. You have to throw that – he threw that before the wide receiver was out of his break. But, you know, like I said, I just think a tough kid, great size. In other words, Francois was never going, in my opinion, Francois was never going to the NFL. This kid, I believe, can.
Right.
And that's why I say I think he's better than Floyd. I think he's better than Francois.
Yeah. I mean, big kid, man. He's a big kid. I think he's going to be. If we can keep him, let's just keep him. You know what I'm saying? I've got to. That was going to be my next point, right?
Right. We've talked about this season. We went through the projections. We went through the projections with other people and everything. It's a very strong possibility that they will lose some guys. Do you believe that about Duffy? That if the season play out, we end up with, you know, another 3-win season, Duffy gone.
I mean, anything's possible when you win 3 games. You know what I'm saying? Anything's possible when you win 3 games. I think they're gonna win more than 3 games though. So I wouldn't go down that route.
No, I'm just talking worst case scenario. I don't think they win in 3 either.
Okay, so I think the bigger problem you have is, I mean, you got to commit it kind of early. He got a pretty good relationship with Dillingham. You know what I'm saying? So that's always a good thing. I mean, I guess the biggest problem would be if Dillingham took another job and then you have a bad season, right? Like you win 5 games and Dillingham take another job. Is there a possibility that you lose him? I mean, I think it's a possibility. But right now, I don't know who's all in on him yet. You know what I'm saying? Like really in on him yet, because some of the big dogs haven't started recruiting yet. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a verbal commit right now. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, all of them are verbal commits, but I mean, some are more solid than others. You know what I mean? Some people we know.
Yeah.
All right, man, it's going to get a little dicey on June 1st. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And some of these are like, in my opinion, I looked at the date. I said, dang, it's April 28th. There ain't nothing, you know, nothing's really happened. Nothing's really changed. They just started spring football. What would make him commit now, knowing that June 1st is everything's opening up? In my opinion, I actually looked at it as a positive. I said, man, that says to me, this is a pretty solid commit, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Because I think, matter of fact, I think I'm gonna go as far as say almost anybody who commits in between now and June 1st is a pretty solid commit, or after June 1st, is a pretty solid commit, because that means they've had the opportunity to see somebody else. They've had the opportunity, and they know we got the opportunity to see somebody else, and they still chose Florida State. So that says to me that they all in, or they believe, or they don't bought in, or whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever the cliches we want to throw out there, to me it says, no, this you know what I mean, this person is kind of in the camp. So in my opinion, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say AJ is coming regardless.
I would align myself with that belief that he's coming regardless. I feel good about AJ Duff. I think he's always wanting to kind of commit and be here. I think they had issues as far as like trying to decide which one it is, which one they want to do, far as Morris or Duffy. And I believe they could have got Duffy, Morris. But I thought Morris was going to take you a little bit down the road a little bit further. You know what I'm saying? And if you can get AJ Duffy early, get AJ Duffy, because he's probably the better quarterback, honestly.
What is it? The old cliche, a bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush or something like that.
Right.
Like, no, take him.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't got time to slow play it, and I'm going to see if maybe we can get Morris, because we kind of think they both even, but we might like Morris more. It ain't that big of a difference, in my opinion, between the two quarterbacks. So if you got one who's ready to commit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, right. No, take him. And if you happen to also get Morris, cool. But if not, I got Duffy and I'm good with it. You know what I'm saying? So in my opinion, I don't even think that's even a question. I think you had no choice but to take him, because like you said, they, you know, MJ, he's Moore is still trying to figure out what, you know, what he want to do. Georgia Tech is heavily in the game.
Right.
You don't need to be in the 11th hour trying to, you know what I mean, trying to figure out which one you want. Meanwhile, you lose both of them.
Yeah, you're going up against Jeff Collins at the end of the day, and
right, you don't want to lose both of them.
Yeah, he might be a better recruiting staff than what you have, so you don't want to play that game.
There's no might in it, yeah. I don't think there's no might in that, but I hear what you're saying. No, I mean, yeah, I think you absolutely needed to get it, and they did, and I do believe it's a solid commit. And man, like I said, one thing about it, I give credit where credit is due. I give you know, when it's time to be critical, we're gonna be critical, but when it's time to get props, I'm gonna get props and props.
Yeah, we got We got some bad news though, because I think the linebacker Willis is probably not coming to Florida State.
I mean, I didn't know we was getting into it, but we can talk about it. I mean, because outside of Duffy, they've lost what, two? Now this is the third recruit since the spring game. They've gained one and lost three.
Yeah.
And all three of them were, in my opinion, very key positions. You lost a defensive tackle. The furniture couldn't hold on to him.
Shocking.
Right. I mean, you lost linebacker, another position of need. At some point, it's like, okay. I mean, listen, I'm glad for Duffy.
Yeah.
But come on. Like, you got to keep the guys who are here, and you got to get them back. Or you got to get somebody who's equal replacement.
Yeah. I think they're going to – well, I don't think Willis is on Marv. I think that's actually on Woodson, I think.
Yeah, they said Woodson.
I think that's Woodson's area.
Woodson is his primary recruiter.
Yeah, so I think that's on Woodson, but I don't think Marv is very inspiring either. So,
I mean, it's weird, right? Because I've been holding my opinions on Marv just because I liked him. I liked the guy, and I was so high on him coming in, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I thought his unit underperformed last year. I didn't think they showed very much in the spring game either. I mean, yeah, we saw some flashes from a couple players at times, but not really. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. Like, and that's, I know it's a little off what we were talking about, but Chris Marv, I'm a wait just because I like him, so I'm gonna give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. But I just think, for him to be as respected as he is amongst coaches, is like, I don't know if it's necessarily translating to the field yet. And I definitely don't know if it's translating towards recruiting. And that's where I'm saying, all right, man, you know, get it together. Because I understand Woodson is the primary recruiter, but Chris Marv's your position coach. So right, if I got a guy in, I'm gonna do my best to keep him. I don't care who your, you know, homeboy is. I you know what I mean? I need linebackers and I want you. So I'm gonna do my best to keep you in the fold. So for me, you know, I'm gonna put a little bit of the blame on Marv as well. But you know, it's early. They still got a good class. Out of 100 kids, let's just hope some more paying off. But what I can tell you is, they, you know, they got a Duffy and have lost three other positions of need. I mean, you got to look at the other stuff as well as the positives. And again, I like this class. I like, you know what I mean, we've talked about it. I like this class.
Yeah,
but you still got to fill some holes.
Well, I mean, you like,
still
got a long way to climb. You like the potential of the class.
I think you got a lot of can't misses. Oh, I don't want to say a lot. I think you got a few can't misses in this class. Like, you ain't going to miss. You know, you got some day one starters in this class. I don't think you've had that in the last three classes.
Right.
Well, I think you can look at it and say, we got some day one starters. And I do believe you got some guys who I think are day one who can be day one starter. I think you got a sure day one starter in Hunter. That I don't even think that's a question. Number one wide receiver, number one cornerback. But I do think you also have, but I think Duffy also, in the need he's called upon, I think he can jump in and fill in immediately. So in my opinion, I do think you got some day one starters, and there's some other guys that, you know, in the class as well. But in my opinion, you ain't even had that before. And so I do think the class, I think it's a good class, not necessarily even the potential. I think you got a very good class so far, but You can't lose guys. You keep losing guys, then that, you know, that class starts to look a little different. It looks a lot like some of Jimbo's last classes, where it's top heavy. You know what I'm saying? It's rated high, but you got, you know, 3 5-star DBs, a 5-star running back, and ain't no linemen. You know what I mean? And no linemen, no wide receivers, no linebackers, and nothing else. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I mean? And no quarterback.
Right.
So now you really ain't got nothing to show for it. It's rated high and it looked good. But actually, when you know, put on the field, you ain't really did nothing. So,
yeah, I mean, we got to see. This Woodson thing is not the Woodson, but the Marv thing is kind of interesting, man. Because it seemed like everything we heard about Marv was like high remarks. Like, this guy gets it. This guy's this. This guy's that.
But yeah, then, coaching track. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but then, like, but when I listen to people talk about him at Florida State and everything he's been since he's been at Florida State, I get a totally different feel. Like, I get a totally different, like, and I don't know why that is. Like, that's kind of interesting to me. So,
I got, we'll my opinion, and this is not going to come as a surprise to anybody who listens to the Listen Up podcast, but my opinion is it has a lot more to do with our defensive coordinator than it has to do with with Marv. You know what I'm saying? So, we'll see. You know what I mean?
You have found a way. You have found a way to bring Adam Fuller into this episode.
We will.
Shouts out to you. Listen, you have found
in my opinion, it has a lot more to do with Adam Fuller than it does Chris Marv. But I mean, that may be just me, you know, pointing blame. And also, like I said, giving Marv a bit of the benefit of the doubt, just because, like you said, everything we heard about Marv was just super high. Mm-hmm. You mean head coaching track, potential defensive coordinator, like everything we heard about him. I watched, like, we saw the clinics and the classes of this guy, you know, that he was giving to other coaches and had other coaches in there, like, oh, you know, amazed. I talked about how much I learned from him. Like, it's just, like I said, it's difficult for me to say it's all on Marv, but that's just my opinion. That's my opinion. I don't think he forgot how to coach.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I don't think another guy was ever a good coach. So that's my opinion. You ain't got to like it. That's just my opinion. We'll see what happens. Proof will be, I mean, it'll all play itself out. And so, you ain't got to like it. I take it. I'm just telling what it is.
I won't totally disagree with what your assessment is. I won't totally disagree with it. I don't know. Like, I don't know, because my thing is, if you're a good recruiter, you're a good recruiter. You're gonna recruit above and beyond that shit anyway.
True. So, I agree. I'm talking about, but again, his linebackers look bad. I'm a linebacker. I play football. I'm looking, and I see them linebackers constantly looking lost. I'm kind of be like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And so then I say, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They selling me on a whole lot of stuff. Got all the hype videos. Let me see. Let me see what happens in the spring. And I don't see very much.
Right.
You can only sell playing time but so much. And I think that's kind of been they selling point. Playing time. Be the difference. Playing time. But at some point, it's like, yeah, but man, are you dudes coaching them the problem? You know what I mean? And that's kind of what I'm looking at. And some of these, honestly, may just be because, you know, June opening up. And so they want to kind of take some trips. You know what I mean? And so I don't necessarily want to fault a kid for that. You know what I mean? Take your trips.
Right.
You know what I mean? Take your trips. Enjoy yourself. Go on the recruiting visits. See what you want to see and then come back. I don't call nobody. And some of those may be actually doing that. Like I said, I don't think people anticipated, or people didn't know June 1st. You know what I mean? That was the date. People didn't know it. A lot of the kids didn't. So now they looking at it, and they buddies, they friends or whatever. Like I said, spring started back.
I want to take this question right here real quick. I mean, I normally don't. We got to get out of taking questions in the middle of the show. I want to start holding them to the end. Yeah. But I want to take this question in particular. He said, yo, Brandon, it's crazy. If you talk to Fuller, dude can talk philosophy, X's and O's like a mastermind.
I talked to him.
I want to say this, though. And I'm not trying to belittle people's experiences with coaches. But how many coaches have y'all talked to, or how many coaching clinics have you watched of a lot of individual coaches? Because a lot of coaches can sound smart and, you know, away from everything. They can sound like they know all the X's and O's and all these good things, but it's only a few coaches that can take what they know and put that into their players. There's only a few coaches that can do that type of stuff. And then you talk about, Like Charles Kelly. Charles Kelly was not a dumb coach. You see what I'm saying? Like Charles Kelly was is a smart coach. But Charles Kelly could not get through what he was trying to do to his players, right? But Jeremy Pruitt is a smart coach, know the same shit Charles Kelly know, but he could package what he's trying to say to them and could simplify and get them to do what he wanted them to do, and they all understood what they were supposed to do. That's a different – and then coaching and coordinating is two different things too. Can you coordinate a defense? Everybody can't coordinate a defense. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what I was going to say. Knowing X's and O's and being able to game plan are not the same thing, right?
Right.
Because I can know where everybody's supposed to be on every single play.
Right.
And man, I guarantee you, he knows where everybody's supposed to be on every single play.
Right.
But in the game, when the bullets are flying, it's a different ball game. Like you have to, it is a constant chess match. Everybody's not quick on their toes. Everybody, and here's the thing, that Memphis chess game ain't the same as the Florida State chess game. And he wasn't good at the Memphis chess game.
Right.
So understand that it makes a big difference when you start talking about coordinating defenses, mm-hmm. when you start talking about game planning. Sometimes you go in and you have no idea what the other team is going to do. You guessed wrong. You game planned all week for this team to do this.
Right.
And then they showed up and did that. Now what do you do? And everybody's not able to adjust to that.
Right.
And that's what makes good coordinators. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm skeptical about Norvell leaving too, you know, when I talk about the offense. Because I look at the second halves. We got the second half numbers. They don't score points in the second half.
Right.
That says to me, one team, you come in with a good game plan. You were able to get some points. You went into halftime. That other defensive coordinator said, all right, I'm going to adjust. Then the offensive coordinator's job is to count on the adjustment and counter it. In other words, I've been doing this all game. So therefore, they're going to adjust for this. Let me hit them with this. And that's right. What makes really good offensive coordinator. Lane Kiffin is a real good offensive coordinator. His offenses don't stall. They put up points. Their quarterbacks put up points because of that. They understand you're going to do – like you ain't got an answer for it. Because as soon as you think, I'm now – this is my game plan, I've now switched it up into something else. And that's what made – when he talked about Jeremy Pruitt, you never knew what Jeremy Pruitt was running. You didn't know the game plan. He disguised coverages better than just about anybody else. You never knew where the blitz was coming. You never knew what defense they were in. Right. You never knew if they was in a cover two. You never knew if they was in a cover four. You never knew if they were blitzing everybody. You stayed confused.
And right.
You had great players. Don't get me wrong. But you had great players and a great scheme. And when those come together, you end up with one of the best defenses ever. And so all I'm saying is it's difficult. It's super difficult when you get to the place in – when you get to the place at Florida State, when you were at Memphis, and you realize they not game planning for the first quarter,
right?
They not game planning for the first half. They game planning the whole game. We firing these off, you know what I mean? And we changing. Okay, y'all have figured this out. Now we got this. I blame right. the defensive coordinator a lot of times, and the reason why I get on Fuller so hard is because how many times did we see? Running backs run. How many times do we see offensive coordinators call the exact same play back to back? Sometimes back to back to back, and we couldn't stop it. Right. You can't tell me that that's on those players. You can't convince me because at some point, as a player, I'm gonna be like, "This is the same play." I'm gonna figure. You know what I mean? So. We got to put that on the leadership. And so just because he can spout it off, don't mean he can teach it to those kids.
Right.
And don't mean he can translate it to and don't mean that it translates to what happens in game day, because we've seen a lot of times teams figured out they can't stop this play. I don't know why, but they can't stop it. And so the offensive coordinator just said, we're going to keep running it. And we're going to run it, and we're going to run it again, and we're going to run it again. And what we didn't see was an adjustment from our side as to how to stop it. And that's where I look at Fuller and I say, they ran that play already. Okay, they run it a second time now. They should never be able to run it a third time.
Right.
If not, that's on me.
Right.
Like, I'm a defensive coach. I started as a wide receivers coach. I'm a defensive coach. If they run the same play three times in a row,
right,
and I can't stop it, that ain't on. I can't look at those boys and say, "What are y'all doing? That's on me."
Right, right. I think I don't want to stay on this defense too long.
I don't either.
We're gonna have plenty of time.
We got a whole nother topic.
We got one last topic to go through. As a coordinator, you have to get everybody to buy into what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? You got to get everybody to buy into what you're doing. Your defensive coordinator got to be coaching the linebackers coach, the defensive backs coach, the D-line coach, and everybody got to be moving into those ways of, okay, this is how we're going to do things. And this is the adjustment. You know, okay, we did this, but when they do this, this is what we're going to do. And sometimes you don't have enough good defensive minds. Maybe you don't have enough good it's a lot of reasons why a coordinator could be bad. Now, he could be a bad coordinator. He could have bad guys around him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think, like, with Charles Keller, I think in a lot of ways he had bad guys around him.
I agree with that. I don't think he was a necessarily a bad quarterback. I think he was working with a lot of obstacles. Bad coordinator. I think he was working with a lot of obstacles.
Yeah, I think if you'd gave Charles Kelly the linebacker coach that Jimbo wanted to begin with, and gave Charles Kelly a defensive backs coach that Jimbo wanted to begin with, I think maybe that defense would have been better. But Jimbo begged for more money to get these things. That didn't happen. So you got what you got, and that's why every week he would laugh about the idea of finding a coordinator, because he's like, y'all want to pay $1 million to get rid of somebody, but you wouldn't pay $500,000 to get this guy. You know what I'm saying? So it was like it was laughable to him. We're gonna see. I think Wayne made a point about boy, they spoiled the middle defense. That was because we had terrible linebackers at that time. I thought the linebacker play, if Willie would have stayed,
bad linebacker Jim, play and
a bad linebacker coach.
Yeah.
So if you'd have got Jim Levitt and you was upgrading the linebackers at the same time, I think you would have saw a better linebacker play, because Amari Gaynor was starting to come on and was actually playing good football in that season, if you remember.
And it was in a scheme that none of them knew. It was a whole lot with that Boise State game.
People was destined to get fired after that season.
Yeah, not only again, and it was a whole lot of quit. It was a lot. We can't go back to Boise State. Like, I can't go all the way back there, but it was a whole lot happening that one.
Yeah.
But listen, man, we're gonna move on to this last topic, man. Let y'all folks get to bed, man. FSU Anti-Racism Task Force. I'm going to pause. Votes to keep Doak Campbell's name on football stadium. Now, I ain't going to say no. Sam Briette.
So, first of all, this shit's about to get geopolitical.
That's why I said you react.
It's about to get political in here. So, if you don't want to hear political shit, you might want to go ahead and cut the pod off right now. I'm dismayed by a lot of things that happen in our fan base. And, you know, we allow certain things that go on in this fan base because people, you know, feel how they feel about certain things. I feel like I had a hard time recording this podcast on Sunday because of all the events that happened the prior week, because the girl that had the knife got shot up by the police, and then we had the Derek Chauvin case, and then we've had another shooting in North Carolina, a black dude getting shot by the police in North Carolina. We had countless things happening, and we keep coming back to these social tropes where people are saying things like, what about black on black crime? And I get upset more with FSU fans. They talk about what are we doing about black on black crime, because it's like y'all see these football players feeding neighborhoods, doing volunteer work, pulling kids together. That we as black people, we're doing everything we can to solve issues within our own community. You know what I'm saying? then you now you take you just oppose that to what we're seeing with this name change on the stadium. People don't want to reconcile that there are racist tropes that exist that people celebrate on an everyday, and it's aggravating almost like. And the idea that they wouldn't even sell the rights to the stadium. And I don't know, maybe they didn't get the price that they wanted to sell the rights, which is possible. That's very much possible. I would say any amount of profit was good enough.
Okay, that's what I'm going to say. We were saying they didn't get the price they wanted. I'm like,
I mean, any so price is good enough.
No money because it, like,
any price is good enough.
Any money is better than no money, last time I checked.
But yeah, any price is good enough. But I just think that what you see is there is this big push against keeping things the status quo and not questioning the institutions that exist in this country and that exist, you know, at every level in this country. I mean, it exists at every level. It exists within the football names, the football statues. It exists in the police department, the fire department, the mayor, the governor. In every area of this country, we have these systematic, institutionalized, racist and racism things that's going on, and people are challenging these things, and this make people feel like we're trying to, I don't know what they feel like. They feel like we're trying to cancel. You keep calling it cancel culture, but I don't understand nothing's really being canceled around here. I don't.
I forgot what somebody called it. They said it's not cancel
culture. It's accountability.
It's accountability culture. Yeah, it's accountability. You are being held accountable for the things that you have done in the past. The idea that, well, I said this, but there are no consequences. And then they somehow hide it under the freedom of speech. Somehow it really bothers me because, again, go to your job, go to your boss tomorrow. I want you to do this and just cuss them out. Like, just tell them, you know what? I don't like you. Just, whatever you feel about your boss, you might like your boss. But if you don't, find that employee then that you don't like. Find whoever it is that you don't like tomorrow, right? And just, I want you to cuss them out. It ain't got to be your boss.
Right.
And understand that there are consequences for those words.
Right.
You might get hit in the mouth. You might get blocked. You might get cussed out. You might get fired. Whatever the consequence is, there are consequences. And you can say, well, no, it's a freedom of speech. I can say what I want to say. You absolutely can, sir.
Yeah.
And ma'am. That doesn't mean there's not consequences for you saying them. And that's the part that seems to like elude so many people. Like, there's consequences for the things that you say. There's consequences for the things that you do, and there's consequences for your behaviors. Right. So at this point, this committee of, they said 30 people apparently were assigned to this anti-racism committee, which is, I mean,
I got to see the picture of the committee.
There's no picture of the committee, but I got all 30 members' names here. The task force executive committee was made up of Maxine Montgomery, Brandon Bowden, Michelle Douglas. That's the executive committee. And then there's a lot of members, including Tom Block, Katrina O. Davis, Miles Feacher, Stacey Harden. These are teachers, faculty members. I have the titles all here. We'll post the link. I'll put the link in the, you know, at the description of the show if you want to, you know, decide to send an email or whatever to any one of these members of the task force. But I guess the thing is, I saw 30 members here is what was assigned. The vote was denied 12-7. So I'm trying to figure out what happened to the other 11 members. Like, it's a lot of questions that happen. And like, if there's 30 members, all on this task force that you've created, why only 19 voted? Because I think they say the vote was lost 12-9. Like, I'm not sure I fully understand why only some of the people got, you know what I mean, got the vote and why others didn't. Mm-hmm. Would that have swung the vote if all 30 members had gotten the vote? Like, it's a lot of stuff that kind of happened in this that that somehow feels a way. And so now, listen, I've been watching a whole lot of crime docs and I see a lot of shady stuff happening around politics. Yeah. And so it's hard for me to believe a lot of things. But when you tell me it's 30 committee members, but only 19 voted, I'm trying to figure out what happened to the other 11 members.
Well, you know what it is, though. Like, nobody wants to put their name on their shit. Like, nobody want to put their name on what they truly believe because they're afraid that they're going to be held accountable for it, you know? And I get into this, well, I talk about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, but if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Right, but
see, that's the problem I have. That, it's not enough people standing for anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's so many people out here trying to just like, again, the vote, I'm assuming, is anonymous. We ain't going to know what 12 voted for and what 12, I mean, what 7 voted for the name change and what 12 voted against it. Right. We're not going to know the 11, other 19 members who all voted. We ain't going to know, you know what I mean?
Listen, make sure Rose knew I was drinking peach because he asked.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm on Jameson, and because I'm on a diet, I got this sugar-free fruit punch with it and it ain't hitting. But no, it's just, I mean, like, ain't nobody being like, nobody's held accountable for anything they do. And these little, you know, side backroom deals that are being made at the end of the day, I don't believe they ever had any intentions on changing.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I felt the same
way.
They
did it. I think they did it to show like, hey, show it for, oh man, we made the change. Let it get everybody. And then I think they did that as well. Let's gauge the reaction. Let's see what happens. Let's see what, you know what I mean? Let's see how people, what the fallout might look like. And then when they didn't get the fallout that they expected, or they was like, ain't really that many people up in arms if we don't change it.
Well, no. Believe me. Those boosters was up in arms about a name change. Those
No. I mean, if we don't change it. I ain't say we do. I say ain't that many people who up in arms if we actually change the name. Ain't that many people going to be mad. More people going to be mad if we do change it.
Right.
So they basically did a temperature check and said, all right, cool. So now on Wednesday, on August 28th, in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day, we're going to just kind of tell them we voted.
Right.
And they're going to leave it at that. It's... it was at least we tried vote.
Yeah.
At least we tried vote. That's exactly what it is. Highlight that one, Sam. Clue on that one. You can't handle the truth. Just play. Yeah, it's at least we tried vote. That's exactly what that is.
Everything is theatrics. Everything is, oh, well, we made a go at it. So I talk about this a lot on my other podcasts. I've been on a break. We've been on a break lately because my homegirl, she's dealing with a lot. Well, she got a lot going on right now, and she's pulling through on the other side of that stuff. And I'm really, you know, happy for her, and proud of her, and I'm praying for her. But and I try to keep most of the stuff off of this podcast because I know people get upset when they have to listen to. They consider political shit. I don't consider doing the right thing political. You know what I'm saying? I don't consider that political. Like I don't consider like if there's a name on a stadium that was vehemently against black people being around white people, integration and totally forced segregation, it's the right thing to do to not have them on the stadium name, to not be a part of that. It's the right thing to do to not be associated with
them. I did look it up. The committee did remove some sort of statue. They removed the statue. So they haven't been completely used to, because my thing was, again, I didn't even know this task force existed. I'm gonna be honest.
They say they were gonna assemble a task force last year. I remember that, which I thought. See, I'm gonna be honest with you. When they say they're gonna assemble a task force, that's when I knew it was gonna be some bullshit.
That's exactly right. I was gonna say, if you tell me whenever I hear the term task force, oh, okay, all right, y'all ready to sweep some things on the
matter of fact, a task force just sounds detrimental to black people.
Right. I forgot there was another task force, I don't remember where it was. It was in. It may have been the University of Coral Gables down there. They had a task force for something or other. I can't remember what it was. I wish I could remember. But essentially, it never got like Tony Dungy was like one of the main members on the task force. But like he ended up being the only person announced. They never met and nobody ever knew anything about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost something that they just say. I will give Thrasher credit for at least assembling the task force,
bro.
But I mean, you could have just told us no. I would have felt a whole lot better if when people came out and said, "Hey, we want to change dope," and he was like, "Nah, fuck y'all, I ain't changing shit." All right, cool with me. I mean, like, I'd have been okay with that because that's honest. This is disingenuous,
right? I think. It's rough, man, because I get upset because we have no problem congratulating, rooting for, and propping up the achievements of some of these black athletes. And we have no problem talking about the backgrounds that they come from. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We make a big deal about this shit. You know, we act like we saved them, you know. And why not honor the sacrifice that some of these guys have made by making that name change and make it more inclusive for all your black athletes? Well, you don't have to be ashamed that you're playing for some type of slave owner. You know what I'm saying?
I guess the name of the stadium that we're asking the predominantly black team and black players to play in is named behind a guy who did not want them to be a part of the school.
Right. I mean, he didn't want them there.
I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the simplest form we can put it. You know what I mean? They are playing in a stadium named after a guy who did not want them there.
Yeah. And I think that's when you have these issues. And I think that as we keep devolving in society, because it seems like we're devolving more back to a more separate time where we can't have honest conversations about things. Because I think a lot of black people are, you know, are getting more educated about their history, about where we plan on going in the future. And a lot of us kind of want to see tangible change. A name change isn't like a tangible change, but it steps in the right direction. And I kind of wonder where it puts everybody. And I think you're going to see more and more. I think somebody put typical Southern shit. And it's Southern stubbornness also. But I think you're going to start seeing these athletes are so disassociated with what's going on with your favorite university or your favorite team. It's why they don't have any heart for your favorite team and your favorite university. It's why they treat all of this like it's just another business transaction. You know, if you want these guys to care about this stuff, you have to care about the things that they care about. You know, if you're that dead set on having the name of a guy that's totally for segregation, then what the fuck does that say about you? You all know right. What I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, this, I told somebody at work this shit because they were talking to me about cancel culture. I said, dude, if you are for a segregationist, if you are for a Nazi regime, if you identify with racist tropes, then dude, you're racist. I don't know what else to say about that. Like, I don't identify with a rapist. I don't identify with a child molester. I don't identify with them.
Right.
It's because I'm not those things. Like, this isn't hard. Y'all are making this harder than what it is, and it's not that hard, dude. Like,
right.
Either you
identify with what it is and agree, or you allowing it.
Yeah, and I mean,
both of those things are wrong.
And then you have to look at it like this. Like, what is it taking away from you? Why is it upsetting you? This is shit you got to look at. You know what I'm saying? I was a guy that about seven years ago, maybe 8 years ago, I didn't even realize this, but I had a problem with interracial relationships. Didn't even realize it. But, you know, somebody had to bring a point up to me about some things about interracial relationships. I'm like, damn, I do got a problem with interracial relationships. I need to figure this shit out, because why would I care who somebody else marries or be with? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's okay to take stock in what you believe in and what you don't believe in, and you know, and assess what you believe in and what makes you mad. Like, some things shouldn't make you mad. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't see color, then why does things being brought up about color make you so upset? You know?
They said they were going to change the name. I'm trying to figure out how that impacts my life in any way. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, what am I going to be upset about if they, all right, man, this guy did some stuff. We ain't going to, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't move me because, like, all right, cool. That makes sense to me. He did some crazy stuff. He got to go. All right. So the idea that you were somehow vehemently upset about that says to me, like,
did we watch? I never forget when they brought up the point. This is about, shit, I don't know. This might have been 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago. They brought that point about Martin Luther King being unfaithful to his wife. You remember this?
I do remember that.
Nobody got upset about that. People was like, hey, that's what he did. That shit was wrong. You know what I'm saying?
He should have did that.
He should have been doing that. That was wrong. But it don't
take away from whatever, like all the other stuff he said. I mean, he said it. I mean, okay, he cheated on his wife.
Yeah, he's wrong. You know what I'm saying? So
you should have did that.
It's just, I think we need to start, if white people,
I think we need to start looking at ourselves, man.
We got to start looking inward, man. We got to figure out, why do these things make us mad? Why are we so attached to these things?
That's what I said the first episode when we first talked about it. We somehow seem to ideologize. I don't think that's the word, but anyway.
I think you don't have one too many drinks for that word.
It's very well possible. I don't have one though, but I ain't had nothing to drink in like a week and a half. But it's like we do this thing where we put these people on this pedestal,
right?
And it's like we do it with players, we do it with coaches, we do it with. If nobody had ever told you. If they came in tomorrow and didn't tell you any of the history, but just told you they were changing the name from Dope Campbell to whatever it is, people would wouldn't even have been a thing. If they said, "Hey, we're changing the name because we got a new buyer,"
yeah,
some people would have been, and that's what. Excuse me. What I look at and I say, "Are you upset at the fact that they're the reason why they're changing the name?" Are you upset at the fact that they changed the name? And see, I think a lot of people are like, it's the history, and that they cloak their prejudices and closet even racism sometimes in, no, we want to preserve the history. What history is that? But because if we really start diving into the history of
things. But guess what? The history isn't changing. The thing is, we're not finna honor that part of the history. We're not going to glorify that part of the history, because the truth be told, we would like for history to be told in its totality. Tell everything about slavery. Tell everything about how Thanksgiving became Thanksgiving. Maybe it should be called Thanks for Taking. I don't know.
Oh, no, we can't. We all on a tangent.
I'm just saying, like,
don't tell them about Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, we want
history. I just watched Exterminate the Brutes on HBO.
Yeah, but we want to see history told in its totality. It's no reason to run away from our history, because the fact that we won't confront our history is why we keep repeating it. It's the reason why it's a reason why you see people storming the Capitol building. That's happened before in our history. That is not some foreign thing. I know people want to feel like it's foreign, but it's not foreign. And I mean, we have to start looking at these things and like, how do we get to a better place? Because you can't root for these black athletes and prop up Warrick Dunn. You can't prop up Derrick Brooks. You can't prop up these people and then turn around and say, I'm also going to prop up this guy that didn't even want their asses here. Because Derrick Brooks has made his university a better university. Warrick Dunn has made his university a better university. But never that wouldn't have happened.
Never had a bad word said about Warrick Dunn. I wore a Florida State. As a matter of fact, I wore this shirt out somewhere a while ago. And a guy, not even Florida State fan, he said, "Man, I met Warrick Dunn." Like, that was the first thing he said to me. I didn't know what problem. And he was like, "Man, I saw your shirt, man. You know, I met Warrick Dunn one time. Just the nicest guy in the world, man.
One of the most impressive people you will ever meet."
Right. Then you talk about all the houses he done bought for me. Like, he knew the man's whole story.
Right.
And I was like, you know what I mean? This is a guy who you should be propping up. You should have more respect for that guy than the guy who said Warrick Dunn is not welcome here.
Right. It just doesn't make sense. You know, and I just, that's all I would say about that, man. I ain't gonna live on this soapbox with people, because I know people like, man, I can't have FSU football. I didn't come here for all of that. But
well, we started out talking about AJ Duff and ended up on.
Hey,
AJ, I love our podcast, man.
AJ Duff is
we're the only podcast who can. But here's the thing, though, and this is and I promise, like, we're gonna be done after this. This is why we started it, man. We understood. For a lot of people that when me and Sam talked about it, and we've had this conversation offline, and I mean, we're gonna talk about it now because we're here and probably because I've been drinking. But we said, I mean, there's very few black voices in FSU, So very few people can touch. Very few people can touch the topics that we can touch in the way that we touch them. Right. Very few people can talk about in depth in the way because we've experienced them. You know what I mean? These are things that we've lived. These aren't. You know what I mean? Like we've heard other podcasts and they kind of brush over some stuff or whatever.
Right.
And we were like, no, we got the ability to dive deeper into it because we can talk from a place of relatability. You know what I mean? Like we've experienced a lot of the things that these players have experienced. I could tell you, I have, you know what I mean? When they talk about, you know, Tallahassee police and they talk about all the, you know, the problems that they face and, you know, driving while black and all these, man, I know I've been there. I know Sam, like I'm sure Sam got stories as well.
Right.
So the reason why we do this is because we can offer a unique perspective. And so for the white people and other races who listen in, we appreciate y'all listening in because we're going to give you a perspective that nobody else can give you. We give you a perspective that only, you know, two African Americans sitting here can give you, you know right. what I mean? And so, and we will always do that. And we right. will continue to do that. I know, you know, for Sam and for me both, we don't have no ill will towards anybody. We have no hate in our heart towards anybody. But we also know that this is the world in which we live in. You know right. what I mean? Like, this is the world in which we live in. We keep it 100 all the way around when it comes to Florida State and when it comes to the society in which we live in. We've seen the murders. We've seen recently police officers tell you that they mistake their gun for tasers. I own guns.
Right.
I own tasers. They don't feel the same. Right. So when they tell, you know what I mean? So we understand when people have been sold a whole, when we're being told some foolishness, but we also understand, and that also goes the same way as it relates to Florida State. We yeah. understand when we've been told some foolishness, you know what I mean? And this name and situation, foolishness.
Right. Because it's not that difficult.
Look at how they treated Jameis because of all right. So listen, we dive in deep, Wayne. We dive in deep. But yeah, I mean, Jameis has always been a source topic for me. I don't believe we didn't go. I think we didn't even go to the White House because of Jameis. You know what I mean? I think they distanced themselves. I think Florida State has distanced themselves because of Jameis. And it's sad to me because this was your best quarter. Well, one of your best quarterbacks and maybe arguably your best quarterback in FSU history who name's not mentioned. They had a celebration last week and he wasn't invited. Or was he there? Was he there at that one that they had at yeah, he was there, wasn't he? The one, not the one that the Florida State did, but that was done by the players, so that one don't count. But all I'm saying is,
no, I don't know because so, man, the Jameis thing is so layered to a point that's a whole episode within itself.
It is. We ain't gonna dive into it, but
because that's a layered conversation because the main reason it's layered is because Jameis was immature, right? Like. 100%. And I think we get into this conversation. Man, that's a different conversation.
Listen, man. Let's not. Wayne, we'll talk about Jameis another episode, I promise. But no, we let's not dive into it. Because I agree with you. It's a lot happening in that one. And if I start diving into them facts and them conversations I had with a lot of people that they ain't like, I ain't even go
We're talking about diving into what's consent, what's not consent, what's okay, what's not okay. And
I'm not getting into it. No,
yeah, that's a lot.
Like, it's an episode in itself. That like dead serious. Like when we in the dead period, ain't nothing going on in the middle of summer. We'll do a Jameis episode, I promise. Just into what's going on because it is. It's a lot going on with that one. I ain't going into it, but I said all that basically to say, yeah, it's a lot of closet things and a lot of things that we see as black people, and then we're kind of told, you know, by white people essentially, yeah. Oh, that's not racism. You can't tell me what I'm seeing because I've experienced it, I've lived through it, and I know what it is. Like, you know what I mean? So when you tell me it ain't, I'm telling you it is. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you that you know, these little subtle things and these certain ways that, you know, players are described, and why we, you know, take so offense to, you know, even something simple as, oh, we need him, no way, good riddance.
Mm-hmm.
You liked him when he was here. Now right. He's not there no more. That feels away.
Right.
And why it got to be, you know what I mean, good riddance, especially, which is why we kept harping on, this is a guy who made good grades. This is a guy who never got into trouble. And I'm not even naming a player, but I'm naming a player. This is a guy who never had any issues. This was a coach's kid. But all we hear is good riddance.
I mean, dude, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something, dude.
We can go into why Justin Fields is sliding in the draft. Whole lot of things we can really dive into.
When you talk about these black athletes and the machinations of things that has to happen for them to step foot on the FSU campus
mm-hmm.
to get a four-year degree, like, that shit is like, is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I think a lot of the, and that's why I have a hard time bashing football players. I bash a coaching staff all day long,
mm-hmm.
but normally you won't see me actually go after players a lot because I know it's hard. It's hard to be a good athlete. It's even harder to be a great athlete.
Right.
It's damn near impossible to be an elite athlete that competes on an elite level. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so many degrees to that shit. And
mm-hmm.
I don't like to get into that. So that's why I took offense to what people said about Woodby, Marv, and certain guys. I have a problem. If we want to talk about their play on the field, that's fine. But you call these guys bad apples and bad people, that shit bothers me because you don't know what they went through to get to this point in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they,
you don't know their home life.
You
don't know
anything. And they gave their future, their potential future, they put their potential future in FSU's hands. And FSU bungled that. You know what I'm saying? And that shit's not okay. You know, that's not okay. So we have to, I've been one that I try to stay away from it for the most part. You know, I mean, I say that a guy's bad. I've had no problem saying, well, that guy's just not a good football player, and I'd be done with that situation. But I try not to get personal. And I see a lot of times people get personal with kids. I try not to get personal, you know. So, but yeah, man, let's
wrap, man. It's yeah. an hour. It's not that. Listen, Wayne, you can't handle the true pot. Like, everybody who was in from the very beginning, Antonio, A63 Seminole. Listen, man, we appreciate you guys.
And if you're not subscribed, if you're not subscribed to the YouTube page, man, please do it. We're gonna drop more individual content on YouTube.
We're moving away from SoundCloud, so there won't be very many. Like, you know, I think we'll post still on SoundCloud, but Apple, YouTube. Spotify is usually where you'll find most of the stuff. Man, let's rate, review, subscribe. We keep saying it. Share the pod on Facebook. We appreciate the likes. We appreciate everything. You know what I mean? That you guys listen. Again, we said we provide a unique perspective that we don't believe anybody really and FSU who covers and covers the team can provide. We can give a perspective that not very many people, if any, can give. From our perspective, we're going to continue to do that. And listen, man, we appreciate everybody. We really do.
Yeah, man. And I think Apple's going to have a situation coming up real soon where I think they're going to start doing pay for subscriptions type thing.
Yep.
I'm going to see how that works out. Ideally, if we do a pay for subscription, I think I'm going to do it like right at $1, which would be like very cheap. And I think it'd be something that'd help grow the pod. Cause a lot of things I would like to do coming up. So, look out for that. And, just subscribe, man. Even if you don't listen to the pod outside of YouTube, just go to Apple and rate 5 stars or go to Spotify and subscribe to that also. And just shit, let it play in the background. Yeah,
right.
You know, so but we appreciate everybody, man. We're gonna try to do a little bit more. You know, I've been busy as hell with work. Work's killing me. I need to take a vacation. I really need to get that done. So but yeah, man, but definitely, man. And if you got any questions or anything, man, make sure you hit the YouTube page. I mean, make sure you hit the YouTube, or make sure you follow the Twitter page and hit me up on Twitter. I always try to answer questions on Twitter, so always hit me up, man.
Absolutely. Yo, man, this is the Listen Up Podcast. Here we out. Yo.